Welcome to the March Tiger Performance Institute membership audio lesson. This month, I'm excited to share with you the rewards of living a high flow lifestyle. We want to help you implement the things that we're training you in, not only in your work, but also in your private life. Stephen Covey famously said, begin with the end in mind. And his point here was that your vision of an ideal future should be clear in determining your actions today. In other words, he was suggesting that you work backward to know the next best steps to take now, and then what the sequence of steps are to achieve your goal or the life that you want to live. And I'm suggesting in this article, this lesson, that part of your vision should be include living a high flow lifestyle. Well, a high flow lifestyle is one where you operate with massive intrinsic motivation every day of the week. You have a transformative purpose that enables you to overcome any obstacle. You've stacked your high, hard 3 to 5 year goals down to clear goals you'll work on today. You're taking time to fuel your tank by breaking away each day for mini breaks to refuel your body and brain. And finally, you've developed some favorite outside of work activity or activities that get you into flow by the sheer enjoyment of doing them. And in the end, you've created a life of meaning and incredible autonomy. What's the payoff? How about 500% and up productivity improvement? The University of Sydney found in flow, we are 430% more creative in solving problems or challenges like creating new business opportunities. The Department of Defense found soldiers learned 490% faster in flow. Research has confirmed that our motivation is stoked 230% when living a high flow lifestyle. So let me ask you this. If you can master flow, how will anyone in your world, in your niche, compete with you? How will you not achieve goals that exceed your imagination of the possible? These are big questions. Well, I've done the math and research, and if you get just 2 hours of flow each day, which is nothing more than complete absorption and focus and attention on your daily clear goals, it's equal to 10 hours of work output not in flow. Now, it gets even more interesting. Repeat that Monday through Friday for 1 week, and you've created output of 50 hours in just 10 hours over the course of a week. This is in addition to everything else you do during the day. So if you apply outdated linear thinking, which is input or time and effort orientation versus what we teach you, which is output orientation, you'll struggle to grasp the power of flow. Old habits like jumping from task to task, not finishing anything while jumping, forgetting where you were, constantly allowing yourself to be interrupted, blocks flow and it limits your productivity. All right. Lack of clarity, procrastination, and frustration lead to self-induced distraction into mindless social apps to gain the temporary pleasure as a relief from your procrastination, which then further limits your potential. I just described the typical life of the average knowledge worker. Is it a wonder then that big, important projects that would advance your business seem to take forever? If you can break through and master flow, you'll break out and break through and create space between you and the crowd and produce massive breakthrough results. Now, let's extend this thinking out over a year. A typical knowledge worker gets about 1 to 2 hours of what we call flow in a month. And you heard that correctly, an hour or two a month. The rest of their time is spent distracted by email, office interruptions, the distraction of social media, and the result is just simply average quality work, nothing truly valuable. If by comparison, you can sustain 2 hours of flow per day for 48 weeks a year, you'll be able to create, in this peak performing state, 480 productive hours a year, all right? Compare this to just 24 hours a year, 2 hours per month for 12 months of flow, the typical knowledge worker achieves, and the exponential opportunity for differentiation becomes super clear. You now have a 20x, 40x advantage in productivity and output over your competitors? How can they compete with that? That's the question you want to ask yourself. Well, there's more. Well, in order to get into flow, you know by now it's vital to optimize your physiology to maintain the physical ability to work in flow states. Flow is biologically expensive. It requires recovery cycles. You need a strong baseline level of health to work in flow day in and day out because flow is taxing. You never hear me say you should strive for 6 to 8 hours of flow a day. It's impossible. You can't. You can't sustain it, nor should you even try to do that on a regular basis. Our goal is for you to go from 1 hour a month to getting flow 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, getting some important stuff done. And then the rest of the day, while you're still focused, work on communication, interaction with others, and other tasks necessary for you to do the work that you need to do with excellence. How you structure your day varies by each person, and there's no one way to do this. Some can get perhaps 3 to 4 hours of flow a day. However, if you can strive for 2, the results are going to be transformative. The key, though, is repeating it daily and compounding the results and not allowing yourself to get wore out, to get stressed, and to get distracted, okay? Working backwards from our goal requires investing time each day to do the heart rate variability breathing exercises we teach you to do in Stress Blueprint and other coaching programs. This is foundational. It's a must. Building in the breathing habit disarms stress and puts you in a state to perform on demand. Failure to do this regularly is going to result in lost focus, productivity, eventually chronic disease, because you're simply going to wear out. Executed consistently, it results in a higher set point of strength and focus. Next, we want to invest in getting great sleep. Sleep is not a bargaining chip in the poker game of time management. Decide today that one of your core values is recovery. Sleeping well means getting both volume and quality. I started out as I'll sleep when I'm a dead guy, and that's an attitude which leads to poor focus, energy, health, and it catches up to you, and you all know it did. Once I saw the light, I then believed as long as my sleep quality is good, the amount of time isn't really important. Well, that's also a lie. This is peddled by some well-known biohacking and productivity gurus. The problem is science doesn't agree with them. This was my justification for getting up super early. Listen, if you can work in flow, it isn't necessary to get up at 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. as some of the popular gurus are pushing. They're pushing a squeeze harder, work faster, work longer theology, and you need to ignore it. Because when you're in flow, you can get massive output in a short amount of time. Therefore, the goal in sleep is building the habit of the same bedtime, the same awake time, getting 8 full hours or more in bed to get 6.5 to 7 hours of actual sleep. This enables you to get 5 full sleep cycles a night from light sleep to REM sleep to deep sleep. A fully recovered, energized you will significantly outperform a slightly tired up at 5 a.m. you every single time. Remember, your biology matters in flow. If your body is not optimal, you will be locked out of flow. We want to help you eliminate as many flow blockers as possible while we can, while teaching you how to order your life to work and live in flow. Does it make sense? All right, with this foundation of good HRV and good sleep, you can go to work now, engaging in daily movement, clean eating, and proper hydration habits. And from this now expanded baseline, you can transition into engineering, the engineering side of flow. The essence of working in a flow state is to learn to engineer your work environment and how you set up your day to maximize your ability to train your attention on one thing at a time. Attention is expensive. We know that. It taxes your brain. Your brain never completely leaves the last thing. So it leaves attention residue. When you spread your attention around onto many things simultaneously, this is called task switching, which leaves attention residue in many places. Task switching loads up your working memory, building cognitive load and leading to your brain slowing down and fatiguing prematurely. working memory or cognitive load then is your enemy, and you can't do good work when you're in this mode. Well, what does it look like then to create a day where your brain is optimized for a day of productivity? Well, it's routine, it's automation, it's reduced friction. They're all your friends. The goal is to reduce friction or inhibitors to settling into an important task that you can pour your attention into for an extended period of time. This means you can never look at your phone, check a social tab open in your laptop, or get interrupted by someone else. It also means you work in an environment you're inspired by, not demotivated by, or you're distracted in. So invest in an office setting. Now, when you hear this, reflects the person that you're becoming, not who you are today. Thus, with this in mind, spend the money, make it look great. Even if you don't think you have the money, make it look like who you're becoming, not who you are today. And so the next question then is, with all of this in mind, is how do we reduce friction? Well, start with the things that you do every day, including things like picking clothes for workouts and your day at work. Make these decisions at night when you don't care about cognitive load. You're going to sleep soon anyway. Next, set up your coffee or your morning drink so pushing a button is all that's necessary. Decide and prepare your lunch in the evening as well. Make the more decisions that you can automate the night before for tomorrow, the better. This thinking can be extended into the day as well. And only you know the decisions that you make in the day that can be automated, but look for them and just have this continuous battle to eliminate as many as you can. From your goal stack, execute on the weekly planning session I wrote about in my book, and you can learn about in detail in our Get in the Zone online course. Narrow down to specific tasks that you'll do in your peak flow time blocks each day. It's not good enough to say work on landing page. The task should read something like this: write headline, subhead, and body of the landing page as first draft. Okay, so it could be write script for landing page video on blank topic. Be very specific, assemble any information you'll need, and write down the file location so you don't waste time searching computer files in your flow period. While I'm on this, let me lay out each day with time blocks, identifying your flow time as well as time to batch communication into one time block and other activities. You don't need to be a robot here. Block time to read, to go for a walk, and work out as well. The idea is you step into each day with a roadmap to execute day after day after day. And you won't be perfect. Some days just won't do it. Get back on your horse and do it the next day. Environmentally, make sure your work area is very organized and tidy. This means things are put into place, the office is orderly, whether you naturally are or not. The lack of order will create cognitive load on your brain and act as a distraction. So tidy up, clean up, and invest in furnishings or wall decorations that make you feel good about sitting down and going to work each day. One more area you can work on that will improve your ability to work and live in flow is simplification. What I mean is deciding if you'll own a lot of toys, houses, cars, etc. The alternative is simplicity. You know, think about downsizing your possessions and you'll immediately downsize your complexity and your cognitive load. Everything you own, every relationship you try to hang on to requires focus, attention, and energy. Now, please hear me. I'm making no judgments about how you live. I'm merely sharing what will free your brain for flow and what will prevent it. For my wife and I, we've chosen a simpler life below our means in order to free us to travel more, which is our favorite way to spend our money. We invest in experiences as a couple and with our kids rather than owning a lot of things. This is our approach, and it's enabled me to bring a huge amount of focus to what I'm doing at Tiger each day. Everyone must find their place on this spectrum. And based on where they are in the pursuit of their goals and lifestyle preferences, make their own decisions on this idea of simplification. All right, so flow operates in a cycle. If we respect the cycle, we will get more flow. Disrespect the cycle and you'll be locked out of flow. The cycle starts with struggle. It moves to breakthrough or release phase and then flow state and finally recovery. There is recovery immediately after flow session, and then there's the broader need for overall recovery within a week and the larger cycle, such as monthly and quarterly recovery cycles. After each flow session, go for a walk, meditate, or do your HRV breathing, or combine one or two of those together. Additionally, pursue great sleep as a daily habit. This is a major form of recovery. And then working out to enhance your fitness will improve your ability to get into flow also. However, it's important to build recovery from your workouts and not just press every day. Tiger coaching clients that go into our silver, gold, or platinum program are put on Oura rings for this reason. We teach clients to oscillate their effort based on their morning readiness scores. And the paradoxical truth is that instead of continuously pressing on, those who do less on certain days, choosing to recover instead of actually pushing, results in more output than those who never stop. So let me close with the importance of hobbies. Hobbies are a pattern interrupt to force you to stop pressing. We call them primary flow activities, and they are actually those things that are outside of work that you enjoy doing. They're pattern interrupt activities, and they're perfect to break you out of struggle and into flow. So build two times a week during a workday afternoon, or maybe one workday and one on the weekend to pursue them. You'll get into flow in a hobby because of the sheer enjoyment of the activity itself. And the axiom about flow is that the more flow you get, the more flow you get. So getting into flow in a hobby trains you for flow at work. One last thing, to achieve the great goals you've set, the answer can't be that only you produce more. My goal isn't to turn you into a machine, an optimized producer, yes, but a machine or a solo Uber producer only, a resounding no. I scaled my last company by developing a philosophy of developing stars rather than grinding through all the steps to grow the business on my own. Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach, stresses asking about who can help you, not how you'll get something built or done. When you combine mastering flow personally with unlocking flow in your teams and practice the habit of finding a who to advance your next big thing, exponential growth is around the corner. So just remember that. So in conclusion, flow is to be pursued as a lifestyle. Flow will create more meaning for you as you create an autonomous life invested in the things you feel called to or enjoy the most. Flow demands recovery and oscillation, which act to protect your health as well as mental and physical energy. The formula for doing the impossible is stacking day after day a couple of hours of flow. When you can stack your 20x productivity advantage day by day over several years compared to your competitor, you gain a massive competitive advantage. Stack successful days, deploy flow against your most important goals, remain consistent, and if you do, you'll produce something that you later stand back in awe of and realize it was through harnessing the power of flow and the wonder of compounding that you did the impossible.